Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you decided to tune in, or perhaps you found the program. I want to tell you that I am Father Cedric Pazegna. I am a passionist priest and a religious, and we have a wonderful dedication to the cross of Jesus, to the passion of Jesus. We meditate upon his passion and his love for us. And we passionists are located in 60 countries throughout the world and in many different places here in the United States. This particular program is being broadcast to you from Houston, Texas, in this beautiful chapel that we have here at Holy Name Retreat Center in Houston. But I wanted to let you know about one of our monasteries in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I'm on TV in Scranton. There's a Catholic TV station there that broadcasts my program, and I've met so many people there in Scranton. And I wanted to tell you that every year they have what's called a novena to St. Anne at that monastery in Scranton. Thousands of people come. They are bused from Pittsburgh, New York, and the surrounding areas, and thousands of people come to every day of that novena. It's a very beautiful. There's five services a day, about 1,000 people at every service. Well, I had the privilege of preaching at that novena, and the people were everywhere. What you're about to see is the 8:30 service in the morning. It was the first service of the day. People brought their lawn chairs and they sat out in the hot July sun. But they came because they wanted to hear the Word of God. And they came because they wanted to worship God. So we're going to go to the recorded live preaching now. Stay tuned. And I pray that this will inspire you and touch your heart. I heard about a teenage boy just old enough to drive. And he went up to his dad and he says, "Dad," he says, "all my friends have a car, and I'm the only one that has to walk to school." He said, "What do I got to do to have you get me a car?" And the father says, "Okay, son," he said, "I'll make a deal with you." He says, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to do your homework, I want you to read the Bible, and I want you to cut your hair, and I'll get you a car." Well, about a month later, dad comes up to the son, and he says, "Son," he says, "I got to tell you something. You're getting great grades in school. Obviously, you're doing your work, and I see you there night after night, sitting there with the Bible, reading the Bible. But there's just one small problem. You still haven't cut your hair. What's going on?" And the young man goes, "Dad," he says, "I realized there, as I read that there Bible, that Samson had long hair. And John the Baptist had long hair. And even Jesus had long hair." The father says, "Yeah, I realized when I read the Bible, they walked everywhere they went." So the theme is passion for Jesus. And I told you that story about Jesus with long hair because that's the way he's traditionally pictured. People see him with long hair and a beard, but I have to tell you, you know, the Bible is not interested about the way he looks, about how tall he is, about what kind of hair he had. That's not what the scriptures are interested in. When you read the Gospels, you will never get a depiction about the way Jesus looked. Rather, the Gospels are interested in how he can touch and change and save our lives. And that's what's really important. When you come to the Gospels, you will see a whole slew of people. The image that I get is like a motorboat going down a river, and you see the wake behind the motorboat. You'll see in Jesus' wake, there's the marginalized, the outcasts, the sinners, the tax collectors, the poor, the broken, the hurting, the sick, and women. And in this wake, Jesus leaves touched lives, changed lives, and he makes a difference in everybody's life. Not only 2,000 years ago, but today. Today we celebrate, as you know, the feast of St. Mary Magdalene. And some people think that she was a prostitute. If one of the stories in Luke applies to her, then she was a prostitute. But definitely Scripture tells us that there were 7 demons cast out of her. So whether she was a prostitute or not, something was going on with this woman. There were 7 demons cast out, the 7 deadly sins, perhaps that stands for.
And really, when you think about it, she was just some obscure sinner, Galilean prostitute, who was touched by Jesus and her life was totally changed. And what a difference Jesus makes. And oh, when you look at her life, what passion she had for Jesus. She was the only one out of all the disciples, except for John, to have the guts and the courage to stand by the cross when Jesus was crucified. And she could have been put to death for that. But she had such passion for Jesus because of who Jesus was that she stood by the cross with Mary. And then, of course, as we know, you know, Jesus, he could have appeared to the emperor when he was risen, could have appeared to St. Peter, the great apostle, when he was raised. He could have appeared to the Jewish high priest who condemned him. But who did he appear to? A demon-possessed prostitute as the first person to see his resurrection. And isn't that just like our God? He chooses the lowly, the broken, the humble, and he pours out his grace upon them. I remember years ago I saw a movie, and actually it was also a play. It was called Jesus Christ Superstar. And in that play and in that movie, Mary Magdalene is one of the prime characters. And when she meets Jesus, she finally meets a person who doesn't use her, who has respect for her, who doesn't try to control or manipulate her, and doesn't make her body into an object to be looked at and used. And she's intrigued by Jesus. She sees a person of royalty, a person of dignity, a person of character, a person of wisdom, obviously a royal person, and she's completely taken by Jesus, completely bowled over by his beauty. And in the midst of it all, she's perplexed and she's bewildered and confused because every other man that she's ever met just wanted her for her body and just wanted to use her. But finally, here's one who loves her not because of what she can do for him, but because of who she is. And he accepts her unconditionally and loves her just the way she is. And she's confused by this and perplexed and bewildered. And so she sings a song, and the song is called, I Don't Know How to Love Him. The words are these. I don't know how to love him, what to do, how to move him. I've been changed, yes, really changed. In these past few days when I see myself, I'm like someone else. He scares me so. I want him so. I love him so. It's a very beautiful moment in that movie when she sings that song. Here's a woman, for all intents and purposes, lost, forsaken, demon-possessed, completely changed by the person of Jesus of Nazareth, who loves her and accepts her unconditionally. And as I said, she becomes the courageous woman who stands at his cross because she has such passion for Jesus because of who Jesus is. And she's the first to see the resurrection. And the first apostle, she's the apostle to the apostles. She announces the good news that Jesus is risen. So beautiful. I remember I studied in the Holy Land years ago when I was in the seminary. I spent 3 months over there. And if you go over to the Holy Land, right outside Jerusalem is the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is not a high mountain. It's right next to Jerusalem, I don't know, maybe 500 feet high or so. And right at the base of the mountain, there are three churches. At the very base is the Garden of Gethsemane, right outside Jerusalem. And it's the Church of All Nations. This is where Jesus suffered his mental anguish and suffered his mental passion, the anxiety, and where he sweat blood. A little further up the hill is another church shaped like a teardrop. This is where Jesus wept over Jerusalem because he was about to be rejected. So you've got this church where he sweat blood. You've got this church where he wept. And right sandwiched in the middle is a Russian Orthodox church with gold domes. And it's a very beautiful church. The domes rise way up into the sky. It is the church, believe it or not, of St. Mary Magdalene. And I think it's so appropriate that right where Jesus suffered his passion, right where he was rejected by all the leaders, right sandwiched right in the middle is the purpose why he came, to save sinners, to touch people, to change people's lives. And I believe that the reason why you have the gold domes on St. Mary Magdalene's church is because of the value and the worth of his suffering was shown in this woman, this prostitute, this demon-possessed whoever from Galilee, from Magdala, up on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. And that's exactly why he suffered. It's for all of us, no matter what we've done in our past. Perhaps, maybe you're not a prostitute, I hope you're not, but maybe some of you watching by TV are. Well, I want to tell you that Jesus came for you. And whatever you've done in your past, whether it's been stealing or divorce or adultery or whatever it's been, perhaps you're addicted and you're struggling with some type of an addiction, Jesus came for you. You have worth. You have value. He sweat blood for you. He came for you, and he gave his total life for you. Yesterday, I had an interview with Catholic TV here in Scranton, and it happened right inside the Basilica there. It was a half-an-hour interview, and I was asked all kind of questions about my books and about my travel and about my TV programs and the preaching and the novena, and really good questions. We had a good time for about a half an hour, and one of the questions that I was asked was this. The interviewer asked me, he said, Father Cedric, you're on TV and the radio, and you've got this big ministry, and you travel around the United States, and you've written all these books, and he said, you're sought after and well-known. How does that make you feel? And this is what I told him. I said, I have to tell you, I know where I've come from. When I was a teenager, I was lost. I had no faith. I was a sinner. I was a pagan. Nobody knew who I was. Nobody but my parents really cared for me. Nobody would give me the time of day. But it was when I was lost and broken and empty and I couldn't find my way, it was then that Jesus accepted me and reached out to me and touched my life. I love what the Bible says. It says that while we were yet sinners, God loved us. See, right in the midst of, we don't have to be perfect, folks. He accepts us the way we are, and he reaches out to us. That's what we're celebrating today. That's why we have passion for Jesus, because of who Jesus is. And it's so beautiful. And I said this to the interviewer. I said, I am well aware that God could have chosen a person or people better looking, more articulate, smarter than I, to be up here preaching the gospel the way that I am. But I have to tell you this, God on purpose, and this is right from the Bible, God on purpose chooses the weak, the lowly, and the humble to shame the strong. In other words, yeah, maybe people are gifted, and they've got all these different gifts that God has given them, but most people, they usurp it for themselves. God could have chosen them, but he didn't. He chose a broken, lost, pagan, Gentile sinner. That's why I can relate to Mary Magdalene. I love St. Teresa. One of her favorite sayings was this, all is grace. All is grace. And I want you to think about that this morning. I love the teaching of Jesus, and we're talking about passion for Jesus. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Simply come. You watching by TV, come. Just as you are, give your heart to Jesus. Surrender to Jesus. You don't even have to go to church. You can do it right there. You give yourself to Jesus. He came for you. The gospel says that Jesus didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. And we all fall into that category. Oh, I stand before you this morning, folks, as a witness, not just a witness that Jesus is risen. Of course he is. But a witness that he touches lives, that he changes lives, and that he came to save us. That's what we're celebrating today. Mary Magdalene's love for Jesus was fervent and passionate and on fire. And that's why she had the guts to stand there by the cross. And that's why Jesus favored her by being the first to see the resurrection. And I'm telling you, have the guts to stand by Jesus. Have the courage to come to him. Have the grace to leave behind what you need to leave behind. And he will accept you just as you are. There's a beautiful story that I love to tell. Perhaps you've heard it. It's one of my favorite stories. It's in some of my books. I don't know exactly which one. My book on change. And it's a story about a man who died, and you know, he was 75 years old, and he was ushered up to the pearly gates of heaven. And as they stood there before the gates of heaven, he met St. Peter. And St. Peter said, "You want to get into heaven, don't you?" He says, "Yeah, heaven's beautiful. Look at it in there. How do I get in?" St. Peter says, "Okay, you got to demonstrate to me that you have 1,000 points. He goes, 1,000 points? How do I do that?" St. Peter says, "Just tell me about your life." He goes, "Okay, St. Peter." He said, "I was born Catholic, brought up Catholic, baptized as a Catholic, confirmed Catholic, always went to church, married for 55 years. I raised 5 children, always brought them to church Sunday after Sunday. I tithe my income. How many points is that?" He said, 2. He goes, 2? He starts stumbling. You know, he's thinking, what have I done with my life? And he's going, "St. Peter, I was a Knight of Columbus. I always went to communion. Whenever there was a novena, I came to it every year. And get this, St. Peter, for the last 20 years of her life, our mother-in-law lived with us in a house. How many more points is that?" And he goes, 2 more. 2 more? He goes, "That's 4 points. I've listed every good thing that I've ever done." He said, "I can't do it." He said, "I'm going to have to throw myself on the mercy of Jesus." St. Peter smiled and said, "Come on in, that's worth 996 points. I'm inviting you to throw yourself on the mercy of Jesus. He came for you. He loves you. He sweat blood for you. He died for you." Mary Magdalene was an obscure prostitute, demon-possessed, and Jesus changed her life. I was a lost pagan, Gentile sinner who nobody cared about. And oh, what a difference Jesus has made. What a difference Jesus makes in our life. "Come to me," Jesus said, "all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." And may the passion of our Lord be always in our hearts. Amen.
I love what Jesus taught. He said, "I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He said, "It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but sick people do." That's what I love about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, she had these 7 demons. You know, I think it was the demons of lust and pride and anger, you know, the 7 deadly sins. And she became a saint, not because she was perfect, not because she had her act all together, but because she came to Jesus and she received forgiveness and she fell in love with Jesus and Jesus changed her and made her a saint, Saint Mary Magdalene. And he's done that with countless millions of people down throughout the ages. And I know he's doing that in me. You know, I'm not perfect. I've got a storied past. I've done my things wrong. But it's by coming to Jesus. You know, I preach a lot about having a personal relationship with Jesus. I even wrote a book called Come Encounter Jesus, where I talk about a personal relationship with Jesus. But I talk about that in all my books because I want people to have some depth. I don't want them just to have a religion or, you know, some rules or rituals, but I want them to have depth with Jesus. So when I talk about a personal relationship with Jesus, first of all, intimacy. You know him in a personal way, and I'll talk about that more in a minute. Then you know that he died for you on the cross, that you're forgiven, and that you're on the way to heaven. That's part of a personal relationship with Jesus. And then the third thing is you're filled with his spirit. His very life lives within you. So a personal relationship with Jesus basically boils down to having intimacy with him. You know him, not just know about him, you know him deep within. You know that he died for you so that you can go to heaven. And already you have his spirit within you. So that's what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. So let's talk a little bit about this intimacy thing. Intimacy means that you're near to him. You get to know him, and that's what Jesus said. He said, "My sheep know me, and I know them." He said, "You are the vine." He said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Abide in me." So in other words, Jesus wants something deep. He wants something near. He wants something close to all of us. And, you know, I think about some of the ways that I came to know the Lord. I remember back when I was a teenager, didn't know who Jesus was. You know, I had a religious education. I knew about him, but I didn't really know the person of Jesus. You have to understand, when Jesus walked the earth, very magnetic, very charismatic. he attracted all kinds of different people to him. Religious people like Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, you know, some of the religious leaders, the priests, they were attracted to him. Others of them didn't want him. But then, of course, you know, tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners and sick people and poor people, thousands hoarded around this man. So he had this magnetism, this charisma, this beauty that attracted people to him. Of course, he healed and he taught with sublime wisdom, but there was something about Jesus that people were attracted to. I remember one time I was a teenager, and it was Easter time, and for the first time, there was a movie out called Jesus of Nazareth, produced by Franco Zeffirelli. And I started to watch it. I wasn't even very religious. And I remember my mom telling me later, she said, "Cedric, we didn't know why you were watching that religious movie, because you never really showed any signs of being religious at all." But as I was laying there on the floor watching Jesus on the screen, for the first time, I saw beauty out of Jesus. He taught with wisdom. He was healing people. People were mesmerized at his deeds and at his words. And I can't tell you how captivated I was. I watched all four parts. It mesmerized me. And I said, you know, I grew up with a religious education in Catholicism, but I never knew that Lord that I'm seeing there on the screen. Then right about that time, my girlfriend took me to a play, and it was called Godspell. And, you know, we weren't very religious, and, you know, sometimes the best things in life are free. We went to this play. It was in, I remember, the old Charles Theater in Boston. And we went, we sat down, and, you know, we're going to see Godspell. And we're sitting there, and through drama and through play, they acted out the Gospels. And I can't tell you, it was just like this fragrance came to me, this scent, if you will, of the beautiful name of Jesus. Do you know that people heal in the name of Jesus, that we're saved in the name of Jesus, that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved? It's Jesus' name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bend and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. So anyway, this beautiful fragrance came to me about how beautiful Jesus was. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, I don't know him, but I want to know him. And he's so beautiful. His wisdom, his integrity, his virtue, his royalty. And that's what the Psalms say about Jesus. You are royal, and graciousness is poured upon your lips. Nobody knows exactly what he looked like. Nobody knows exactly how tall he was or if he had a beard or not. You know, we have the Shroud of Turin, but we're still not sure. But beyond all that, you can come to know him. You know what he's like. You read the scriptures. In fact, it was the Gospels that really helped me to come to know the Lord. We had the parables and we have his teaching. But there's something, you know, when you come to the scriptures, when you come to the Gospels themselves, these are the primary source we have about Jesus of Nazareth and who he was. Of course, the Gospels fall all over themselves trying to tell us that he is the Son of God, that he came to bring us life, that he is the Messiah, that he came to forgive us. But as you read it, again, the only word to use is a perfume comes forth. Remember how Mary came in and broke open the jar of perfume and the fragrance filled the whole room, the aroma? Well, that's kind of what happens here. When you read the scriptures, the aroma of Christ comes. And even though you don't see a picture, deep within, in your spirit, you come to know what he's like. The only way I can describe it is by having you to read the Bible and you to read the scriptures, and then you'll see, yes, I'm coming to know him. It was St. Jerome years ago, great biblical scholar back in the 300s. He said, "Ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Christ." So in other words, how can you ever know Jesus if you don't know the Bible? So Jesus comes in many different ways. He comes through music, comes through the scriptures, comes through movies, comes through poetry, comes through plays like Godspell, Jesus Christ Superstar, comes through TV shows, hopefully like mine. There's many different ways that he comes, but it's really important that you get to know him. I want you to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Everybody can have it. And remember, it's intimacy, it's knowing that he died for you on the cross, and it's being filled with the Holy Spirit. I hope you'll be interested in getting my book, Come Encounter Jesus, where I talk more about this. But more than selling books, I want you to have more than a religion. I want you to have a relationship with the living, risen Lord. Come to me, Jesus said, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Come to Jesus, whoever you are, all you, and he will give you rest. He loves you unconditionally. He wants you to know him. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to give you eternal life. Come to Jesus. Don't just live. Live with passion.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.